5:30.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
First of all, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Tuesday, the 8th of December, 2020, from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the island. A background to the news, Manx Sport, Business, Sea Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person. Tonight, no new cases of COVID-19, such as one on the island in non-community isolation. When will the vaccine roll out to the Isle of Man? The Ravens of FC Isle of Man have been grounded. The Ballacry polls may never rise, and the dire COVID situation in Jersey in the next half hour. Yes, it's been another flume-free Tuesday at the NSC.
Man Benham Advocates for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. First of all, Lewis Foster.
First of all, it's hoped supplies of the COVID-19 vaccine will be on the island in the next week. The first Pfizer jabs are being given to people in England today. Health Minister David Ashford says the Isle of Man is having to wait its turn in the NHS supply chain, but insists there are no delays. Meanwhile, concerns have been raised that Manx citizens won't be able to move freely over the island's border without having had the COVID vaccine. Advocate Ian Kermode has written to government to express alarm about the prospect. It follows comments made by the Enterprise Minister Lawrence Skelly, where he said it's likely a COVID vaccine would become a formal requirement for travel. And the island's road policing unit is to lead Hector Duff's funeral cortege this week. The Manx veteran and OBE, who passed away last Monday, was formerly an officer in the Isle of Man Constabulary. Details of Thursday's procession route can be found at manxradio.com. Further afield, the chief executive of NHS England says it's remarkable vaccinations are now being rolled out about a year after the initial case of coronavirus. The first one in the health service programme was given to a 90-year-old grandmother in Coventry this morning. Meanwhile, independent analysis has confirmed a vaccine being produced by Oxford University and AstraZeneca is safe and effective. But the study, published in The Lancet, still doesn't explain why the jab works better if a half dose is given before a second full one. And hopes of a UK-EU trade deal have taken a hit, with the man in charge of negotiations for Brussels saying the chances are now very slim. That's despite a breakthrough in separate talks about issues relating to Northern Ireland. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with more at 6 o'clock.
Enter the Man Benham Advent Calendar Draw. Just visit us on Facebook and answer the question. Man Benham, here for you this Christmas. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goramaya, thank you, Lewis. From the Irish Sea Weather Desk at Ronald's Way Met Office in the North Irish Sea, there are strong winds. They will diminish through the night. On the Isle of Man, frequent showers on a strong to gale force west-northwesterly, drying up overnight as the wind throttles back. Overnight, minimum 4 Celsius. For Wednesday, Ukraine, dry and sunny tomorrow morning. Rain during the afternoon on a moderate to fresh west, turning southeasterly wind. Daytime maximum 8 degrees Celsius, down to 6 through the night. And for Thursday, Jordan, cloudy with showers on a moderate southerly, top temperature 9 degrees. High water was about 20 minutes ago. Low water is at 11 minutes to midnight tonight. High tide tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock. Sunrise 26 minutes past 8, and the lunchtime high tide 25 past midday.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit us at Snugborough to see our range of picture frame glass, mirrors and tabletop glass.
Early this morning, a 90-year-old grandmother, Margaret Keenan from Coventry in the West Midlands, became the first person in England to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. So, where are we with the rollout on the Isle of Man? Health and Social Care Minister David Ashford.
So our first deliveries onto Ireland should be within the next week, we would hope, and from there we can start rolling out around the nursing homes as planned.
Sorry, just picking up on we hope.
Well, obviously, we've got to see that. I'm very cautious. I like to see the actual physical vaccines on Ireland, but we would expect the deliveries to be in the next week. One of the things we've got to remember as well is we actually have a much smaller rollout than the UK does. Theirs is an absolutely massive task. Ours is a big task for us as well, but obviously we're doing it on a much smaller scale than the UK.
I think last week you were saying we were hoping to have the testing starting this week. So has there been a delay or a glitch?
No, there has been no delay, no glitch. It is literally, as we said, on Thursday. It would dependent upon the supplies coming through the UK and us getting our share shipped over. It is logistical. It is very logistical to getting them onto the island because, as I mentioned at the Thursday briefing, they cannot be shaken in any way. They have to remain static. They have to be kept at minus 70. So there is logistics that have to work around that.
Also, what was mentioned on Thursday was there was a debate going on about whether you were going to be regional in applying the vaccine or it was going to be a more central hub. Have any more decisions been made on that?
So as confirmed on Thursday, it will be a central hub and hopefully we can make announcements about that later in the week.
We're not sure where that hub is yet.
Well, I know where the hub is, but once we've got everything confirmed, we will then make public announcement and we hope that will be later in the week.
A lot of publicity is being given in the UK with we've seen the first injections, etc., etc. That is also, I think, to help convince people as well that maybe are doubting whether to have the vaccine to take it. Are we going to see similar on the Isle of Man? And are we going to see a campaign trying to encourage people to take the vaccine?
We most certainly will be doing publicity pieces and also a campaign to encourage people and actually try and counter some of the false news that's out there as well.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
Good evening. It's 24 minutes before 6 on Manx Radio. The first doses of COVID-19 vaccine have been delivered to the UK. The first doses due to be rolled out here next week, same time as Jersey. And while we remain COVID-free, cases in the Channel Island rose to 536 yesterday, with 31 new infections identified and 11 recoveries. Well, earlier today, I spoke to BBC Radio Jersey's breakfast host, Manxy, Ashley Tracy, about how people on Jersey feel about the government response.
The Chief Minister, Senator John Lafondre, has had a bit of a bad rep. In fact, only 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago possibly now, there was a vote of no confidence in the state. So he was, there was a whole day debate where Senator Christina Moore, who's a backbencher here, said, we don't trust him, we don't think he's leading the island to its best ability given the situation. We think somebody else could do a better job. You know, things are starting to unravel. Look where we are now. That was maybe 3 weeks, a month ago. But he survived that. So, you know, the majority of politicians in the state said, no, we believe he is the right man for the job. He needs to continue doing what he's doing because, you know, slotting someone else in would be more difficult at this stage. I think the feeling on the ground is, though, that he, alongside with the Health Minister, Deputy Richard Renneth, are just too slow to react to things. People saying that the face mask legislation should have been introduced months ago. Actually, we probably should have been in a lockdown at, you know, the start of November when we started to see the cases increase. People still calling for a lockdown, even though last night the Chief Minister saying, no, actually, we're in an all right place with this hospitality circuit breaker. I think if you were to ask anybody on the street, has the Chief Minister done a good job, you'd struggle to find somebody who said yes.
You obviously feel calls, texts and emails every morning on yeah. The breakfast show. What's the feeling amongst the population about discipline on the island of Jersey?
Interesting. You joined us on the breakfast show yesterday and you talked about the numbers of people who found themselves banged up because they hadn't followed the rules in the Isle of Man. We had a lot of people get in touch with us after our conversation when you'd said that, saying actually they seem to have just taken a much tougher stance up in the Isle of Man in comparison to here in Jersey. And perhaps if we'd have been a bit stronger in terms of sending people to Lamoy, the prison here, maybe that would have deterred people from breaking the rules, breaking isolation rules, that sort of thing. We did hear about some people getting into trouble, but certainly not the numbers that you've seen in the Isle of Man.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Ben McCree left Heysham early this afternoon. She left at 18 minutes to 2 and arrived in Inner Douglas Harbour about 10 minutes ago. She's just fastening on to the link span, will be discharging and leaving this evening at 7:15, slightly earlier, arriving in Heysham at 11 o'clock tonight, still leaving at 2:15 tomorrow morning, and back in Douglas Harbour at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
A meeting to discuss plans to install telecoms poles on an estate in the south of the Isle of Man has been postponed while other options are priced up. Arbury Castle Town and Maloo MHK Graham Crajean says Thursday's event has been called off to allow Manx Telecom to consider a cheaper way to install those cables in the road at Ballacry Park rather than overhead.
After discussions with the Department for Enterprise, one of the points I brought up with them was about this micro ducting. And apparently the £130,000 additional fees for putting it underground was for full reinstatement, all new pavements. Now this micro ducting, it will be a cheaper way, it's just cutting a groove in it to fit the cables in. So they're now going to go away and have a look at that and maybe some other ways of doing this. But I thought it'd be far better for the public to have a full idea what these options are going to be rather than have a meeting now and then say, well, we'll come back again later with some further details.
It's important, though, isn't it, that Enterprise and indeed Manx Telecom get this Ballacry project right, because this could reoccur at estates right round the island.
I think after my discussions with them, they've realised that, yes, it could have been done better the first time, and this is the first time they've actually come across this, and I think it's been a learning experience for both of them. So hopefully, if we can get this one right, it should be a lot easier for the rest of the Isle of Man. And for a housing estate to be, which is predominantly bungalows, and for these posts to be put in and then the cables running across, I can totally understand, you know, some of the residents' concerns. It may be a case that if they have to start doing this micro ducting, then, you know, the purchase of a machine to do this will be sort of the best way forward, and I think that's part of what they're going to actually have a look at.
The whole subject of a one dig project came up, where utilities basically do all the work together and don't keep coming and revisiting a scene.
All the services have been there for many years, and it's a case of, you know, you're not going to actually dig it up now just to renew everything because the telecoms have come along. That's why they have this joint utilities group. So anything in the future when they're opening it up, that they're supposed to replace everything, because, you know, the last thing you want is, and I think many people have seen this in the past, is that you see a road being resurfaced and within weeks it's dug up and the utilities come in.
Manx Radio's business briefing.
18 minutes to six. Good evening. Thanks for choosing Manx Radio tonight. Davos 2021 won't be held in Switzerland, but in Singapore. The planners of the World Economic Forum's annual meeting next May say the city-state is best placed as a venue in light of the C19 situation in Europe. The conference for the world's top business and political leaders, usually held in the Swiss resort of Davos in January, but due to the crisis, it was postponed by 4 months and moved to Lucerne before the latest announcement. It's the first time the forum has been held outside Switzerland since 2002. The possibility of a future powered significantly by clean hydrogen has taken a small step closer. The world's biggest green hydrogen developers have joined forces in a green hydrogen catapult. Their ambition is to expand production 50-fold in less than 6 years to radically drive down the cost. Those involved include ACWA Power, CWP Renewables, Envision, Iberdrola, Yara, Snam and Ørsted, the company previously known as Dong Energy. Green hydrogen produced by renewable energy using electrolysis is currently much more expensive than obtaining hydrogen from natural gas, and the firms hope that their economies of scale can drive down the cost to a competitive $2 a kilogram. Green hydrogen currently costs between $3.5 or $3.50 and $8 per kilogram.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks were mixed as talks between the UK and the EU continued to yield slow progress on Brexit. Sterling clung to a hopes of a meeting between Boris Johnson and Ursula von der Leyen, salvaging a Brexit trade deal. Oil edged lower, gold steadied, and in corporate news, SSE was in the black after Ofgem said it was halving the returns the UK energy utilities are allowed to make. Ashtead rallied after the equipment rental firm said full-year results were set to be ahead of previous guidance. The numbers now. The close in London, the FTSE 100 at 5 o'clock, was flat at 6,558. The DAX up 0.1% at 13,288 in Frankfurt. In New York City, currently still going, the industrial index, the Dow Jones, up 0.3% at 30,170. The tech stocks index, the Nasdaq flat at 12,518. And in Chicago, the S&P 500 up 0.2% at 3,698. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 33.5 cents, €1 10.2 cents, and 20 South African rand and 5.7 cents. In commodities, finally, gold up 0.5% at $1,869 per ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil up 0.3% at $48.76.
The Stock Market Report was brought to you by Ramsey Crookle, the island's investment specialist. Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Concerns have been raised that people won't be able to move freely over the Isle of Man's border without having had a COVID vaccine. An advocate has written to the government to express alarm about the prospect. The details from Ewan Gawn.
Advocate Ian Kermode has challenged comments made by Enterprise Minister Lawrence Skelly in last week's Examiner. Mr Skelly said it appeared likely a COVID vaccine would become a formal requirement for travel, and asked, will anyone have confidence to without it? In a letter to the minister, Mr Kermode says a broad range of residents cannot receive the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, including pregnant women, children and those with other medical conditions. There are also those who are opposed on philosophical grounds, who believe control of their body is their own sovereign decision and not one for the state. The advocate goes on to say a mandatory vaccine requirement for travel would discriminate against those groups and lead to significant legal issues around civil liberties and citizenship. Mr Kermode penned his letter to raise concerns passed to him by potential litigants and publicised the matter so it can be taken into account when developing border policy. Despite this, so-called passport immunity was ruled out by the Health Minister David Ashford today.
There are currently no plans to go down that route. There is issues around that, as the Director of Public Health laid out, because at the moment having the vaccine doesn't necessarily mean you can't catch the disease, it just lessens the symptoms, prevents you becoming ill. And there's also not the evidence that if you have the vaccine and then contract COVID, that means you can't transmit to other people. So those would be the two things that would have to be satisfied for any travel passport to work really anyway.
Health Minister David Ashford. To find out more about this story, head to manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Sport.
13 minutes before 6, Festermeyer, Rhiann Evans.
Festermeyer, in the latest round of the Law Trust Cross Country League, most of the competitors were seen negotiating through one of the longest and toughest climbs to be found on any cross country course on the Isle of Man. Lucas Stennett, Sam Perry and Charlie Tier were separated by only 3 seconds in the under 15s boys race, but things were much more comfortable for Macy Hillier in the girls race, who won convincingly. The two senior winners were Ollie Lockley and Ashley Lockenicht. Alan Corlett took second place ahead of Will Draper in third in the men's race. In second place behind Ashley in the women's was the ever-consistent Laura Dickinson. And Caroline Carin demonstrated her fell-running prowess on the Crossags Hills with an excellent third place. In rugby, and Douglas North are Manx Trophy champions thanks to an unlikely Friday night draw and a huge 58-0 win against Southern Nomads at Portichee. The drama started on Friday night at Bella Fletcher when North's nearest challengers, Vagabonds and Douglas South, fought out a 12-all draw in awful conditions. The result meant that Douglas North could win the trophy if they beat Nomads with a bonus point, and they did exactly that. Looking to netball, and it was goal-for-goal games galore in Sunday's Newfield Senior Netball League. In the Premier Division, 2 games had 1-goal wins. Route 1 Connections beat Balasala Alpha 33-32, while Manx Gems Rubies just missed out on a win against Thompson Travel 1, who beat them 30-31. There were nail-biters across the boards, though. In Division 1, another 1-goal win was seen between the much-anticipated match between Marbury Misfits B and Castletown Spaniards. That saw Marbury come out victorious 31 points to 30, while elsewhere it was almost a mirror image in terms of closeness between the second Manx Gems and Thompson teams. Neither one was willing to give up the win, though, leaving the final result a 25 apiece draw. Further afield, and Rugby World Cup winner Steve Thompson and 7 other former players claim the sport has left them with permanent brain damage and are in the process of starting a claim against the game's authorities for negligence. Every member of the group has recently been diagnosed with the early signs of dementia, and they say repeated blows to the head are to blame.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
10 to 6 on Manx Radio, one departure, one arrival from Ronald's Way. The 4:50 to Liverpool left 6 minutes late and it'll be returning. The patient transfer flight, of course, this evening at 20 to 7. On the roads, Cottlebridge Road in Douglas still got those 24-hour lights for drainage and curbing work, finishing a week on Friday. Ballyfesson Road in Port Erin with 24-hour lights for bus stop refurbishment, and also 24-hour lights on King Edward Road in Onchan for railway work. Westlands in Peel is closed for demolition, refurb work and extension works, and Station Park in Colby closed for curb replacement and surfacing. There are temporary light 24 hours a day, narrow lanes and associated waiting and turning restrictions. Where else but Douglas Promenade across Lock, Harris Central and Queen's Promenades. And remember, in Peel, the phase closures for water main replacement and sewerage infrastructure roll on, currently on East Quay between Garage and Mariner's Wharf.
Ignite your blue with Toyo Tyres, solely available at Quayside Tyres and Car Service Centre, South Quay Industrial Estate.
The moment when legendary hero Sigurd Fannisbane slew Fafnir the dragon won't go unnoticed thanks to the church-going public of Malou. The scenes depicted in the most prominent of the medieval crosses given a new home on the northern transept of the parish church. They were moved as part of a major refurb paid for by the local community, and it comes amid greater efforts to recognise the Isle of Man's magnificent crosses. As Andy Johnson, Inspector of Ancient Monuments for Manx National Heritage, explained to Ewan Gorn.
It's something that we're really, really keen on is public involvement, public engagement with these stones. They come from so many different places. There's nearly just over 200 of them, and they're on display and have been on display in the parishes. But of course, they date from a time long before the parishes even existed. Nevertheless, what we all acknowledge is that there's enormous sort of local feeling attached to these stones and to the physical display of them. But what we've done is we've done an assessment of their significance and acknowledge that they have communal significance as much as they do to, you know, academics who have weird ideas about them and so on. It's that public accessibility is really, really key.
This was their intended purpose, wasn't it? To be looked at, to be sort of consumed, imbibed, viewed.
Definitely. There's a school of thought that says that some of these from the get-go were more than just a memorial to an individual. And let's face it, you know, when it's a stone like this one, it's you know, to quite an important individual. But there's a school of thought that suggests that they were also a kind of means of teaching or putting out there certain Christian ideas that were very, very relevant in the times that these stones were carved, because people thought around about the first millennium AD that, you know, Christ was going to come again. And lots of people, you know, with massive encouragement by the church authorities, lots of people really sort of consulted their souls about, you know, how religious they were and how deserving they were of salvation and so on.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
A new probation centre opened in Tramode will allow offenders to stay out of prison whilst keeping the community safe. The prison governor, Bob McCollum, explains.
This operates as a halfway house. It builds on some of the work in the prison, or it actually diverts away from the prison in the first place. So it's a bit of an oasis, but it means we can work with offenders, reduce their risk, and actually get them to actually understand things like cookery, budget, health.
It must be tough in some instances, actually.
It's exactly what we do. We deal with difficult people. It's why we moved it here and why probation service now run it, because some of these offenders previously would have been exactly, as you say, in the community with their peers and those temptations.
I mean, do you try and get them to steer clear of that situation when they come out?
Everything we do is trying to get them to behave like citizens and contribute back to our community. and they go into our community. This isn't like a cross where they could be going anywhere, whether it's from the prison, whether it's probation trying to divert. Everything we do is trying to get people to behave like good citizens.
But how much is it up to them to amend their ways, if I can put it that way, or up to the authorities to persuade them to amend their ways?
It has to come from the individual. They have to be motivated to do it, but we have to motivate them too. And we have some very highly trained staff, very skillful staff, who will work with people and get them to change their lives.
COVID has thwarted FC Isle of Man's progress this season, but all is not lost. The Ravens' membership in the Northwest Counties Football League Division 1 South is being carried over to 2021-2022 season. In the meantime, though, the new side's to take on a team closer to home. Director of Football Paul Jones.
Our players are still registered with that league, and they will be for the remainder of the season. We can sign new players and register new players this season, and they'll be covered under the league's insurance scheme. So we won't be playing any games in that league, but, you know, fingers crossed, if we are able to get off the Isle of Man or bring teams to the Isle of Man in kind of April, May time, then we're looking towards having some fixtures, you know, and playing some half-decent clubs and maybe starting the preparations for the 21-22 season from April, May onwards.
And of course, you've got the game against the national side coming up. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, it'd be good. It'd be really interesting. It's for us, like, an awesome charity, obviously, Craig Hartstrong. You know, we were glad to accept the invite from the Isle of Man FA. It's their game, you know, we're there to turn up as the away team as such and make sure that we represent our club as best we can. But, you know, they've had first pick of the players, so to speak, you know, as the national team should. So we'll deal with whatever's left off the back of that. And we'll be in our away kit. The Isle of Man national team will be in their national team colours, because that's how it should be as well, you know. So we were keen to demonstrate, like, there is a bit of a difference, but, you know, we're here to work with the national team and to support what they're doing and to make sure they have access to the best players when they need them.
That's it for Update tonight. By the way, remember this Thursday, day after tomorrow, last posting day for Christmas to Austria, Denmark, Germany, Iceland, Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, Slovakia, Spain, Switzerland, Belgium, France, Ireland and Luxembourg. Update is back tomorrow night at 5:30. Bob Into Buildings is on next, and then George Ferguson.